Al-Fahm presents The Lives of the Prophets, a series of lectures prepared and delivered by Imam Anwar Al-Awlaqi from the US. The topics covered in this series, based on the Quran and authentic hadith, include the lives of 26 prophets from Adam through to Isa alayhimus salam. The life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be presented as a separate series of talks. Imam Anwar will begin the series by briefly explaining the importance of knowing and understanding the lives of the prophets. This will be followed by the story of creation and Adam alayhi salam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
فقصص القصص لعلهم يتفكرون
So relate the story. Perhaps they may reflect.
Adam, Chief. Idris, Nuh, Hud, Salih, Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, Lut, Yaqub, Yusuf, Shu'aib, Ayyub, Dhul-Kifl, Musa, Harun, Yusha' bin Nun, Al-Yasa', Ilyas, Dawood, Sulaiman, Yunus, Zakariya, Yahya, Isa, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وصلوات الله وسلامه عليه أجمعين
أولئك الذين هدى الله فبهداه مقتده
They are those whom Allah has guided. So follow their guidance.
The lines of the prophets.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, We relate unto you, O Muhammad, the best of stories through our revelations unto you of this Qur'an. And before this, you were among those who weren't aware of it. It is from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is revealing this to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to this ummah. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, We relate unto you the best of stories. These are the best of stories because they are dealing with the best of creation. Some of the benefits of talking about the Anbiya, number one, because Rasulullah ﷺ was commanded to do so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقْصُصِ الْقَصَصِ Relate unto them the stories. It's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to Rasulullah ﷺ that he must, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding him that he must narrate these stories unto the ummah. So it becomes a duty upon us to relate these stories. It becomes mandatory on us to convey the message of the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their stories. So number one, we are doing this as a ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fulfill a commandment of Allah. Number two, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ
فَقُصُصِ الْقَصَصَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ
Relate and convey to them the stories. Why? So that they may reflect. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ So they may contemplate. التفكر. These stories are not to entertain us. These stories are for us to derive lessons and reflect, and to contemplate, and to think about, to deeply reflect on them. That is what we need to do. Number three, another reason why it's extremely important to study the stories of the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
أولئك الذين هدى الله فبهداه مقتده.
They are those whom Allah has guided, so follow their guidance. They are the ones who are guided. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to follow them, to follow their guidance. Because they are the best. We need to have role models. It is very important for the human being to have a role model, especially in the early stages of our life. You find that every human being has role models. If they are not good, they're going to be bad. That is our makeup as human beings. We must have some role models. We must have some people whom we look up to. If we're not going to provide our children and our youth with the role models of the Anbiya and the role models of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the role models of the Sahaba, they're going to find role models somewhere else. Because human beings cannot live without role models. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he must follow the way of the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this instruction was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what should we do? فَبِهُدَاهُمْ اتَّدِهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, follow their way. So we need to study the lives of the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that they can become our role models. Number four. To love them. Al-Mahabba. If you do not know someone, you cannot love him. We all claim that we love the Anbiya of Allah. But if we don't know the details of their life, we don't know what they went through, how could we have respect for them? Abu Dharr came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him a question. قَالَ كَمْ عِدَّةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. What is the total number of Anbiya? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 120,000 الرسل من ذلك 315 جما غفيرا. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what is the number of the Anbiya? 120,000. And the messengers among them are 315. So the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are 120,000. And the messengers, الرسل, are 315. I'm translating Nabi as Prophet and Rasul as Messenger. So there are two different things. Nabi and Rasul. Nabi, the plural of it is Anbiya. Rasul, the plural of it is Rasul. So what is the difference between the Nabi and the Rasul? What is the difference between the Prophet and the Messenger? There are a few opinions of the ulama in this. One of them is that the Rasul is the Nabi who is given a law. The Rasul is a Nabi who is given a law. But the Nabi who is not a Rasul is following the law of another Rasul. So every Rasul is a Nabi, but not every Nabi is a Rasul. Every prophet is not a messenger, but every messenger is a prophet. If a prophet is given a new law, then he becomes a Rasul and a Nabi. If he's not given a new law, then he is a Nabi only, a prophet. An example of that to make it a little bit clear. Musa is a Rasul. Musa is a Rasul. Why? Because he was given the Torah. But Harun is not a Rasul. Harun is a Nabi. Why? Because he is following the law of his brother. Harun is following the law of Musa. This is one difference that the ulama give to between Nabi and Rasul. But before we start talking about Adam, let's look at the story of creation. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked this question by a group who came from Yemen and this is narrated in Bukhari, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, ma awwal hadha al-amr? O Rasulullah, how did all of this start? They want to know how this all came into existence. فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَكُمْ مَعَهُ شَيْءٍ وَفِي رُوَايَةٍ وَلَمْ يَكُمْ قَبْلَهُ شَيْءٍ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, in the beginning there was Allah. There was nothing before Him. Another narration, nothing was with Him. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ, and His throne was on water. وَكَتَبَ فِي الذِّكْرِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, and He wrote in the tablet everything. وَخَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and He created the heavens and the earth. Again, عن عمران بن حصين قال, قال أهل اليمن لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, جئناك لنتفقه في الدين ولنسألك عن أول هذا الأمر. فقال, كان الله ولم يكن شيء قبله, وكان عرشه على الماء, وكتب في الذكر كل شيء, وخلق السماوات والأرض. Narrated by al-Bukhari, Imran ibn Hussein said, people from Yemen came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, we have came to you to learn our religion and to ask you, how did all of this start? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there was Allah and nothing before Him, and His throne was on water, and He wrote everything in the tablet, and He created the heavens and earth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلَمُ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ اكْتُبْ فَجَرَى فِي تِلْكَ السَّاعَةِ بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ السَّاعَةِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the first thing Allah created was the pen. Then Allah ordered it to write, so it wrote everything that will happen until the Day of Judgment. We worry about rizq. We worry about our rizq. Rizq is sustenance, what Allah will provide us. We worry about our wealth. We're always thinking about tomorrow. We are rizqophobic. We have a problem of paranoia of rizq. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ هَلُوعًا. We're always in a state of despair when it comes to wealth. We're always thinking about how will we make it in the future. Worried and terrified and paranoid. Well, listen to this. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says in a hadith narrated by Muslim, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ مَقَادِيرَ الْخَلَائِقِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِخَمْسِينَ أَلْفْ سَنَةِ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says in the hadith narrated by Muslim, Allah wrote down the sustenance of the creation 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. Everything that you will get is already written down, not 50,000 years before this day, but 50,000 years before the heavens and the earth were created. It's a done deal. What you will get is already written down. Are you still going to be very concerned about it? Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, خلقت الملائكة من نور وخلق الجان من مارج من نار. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, the angels were created from light and the jinn were created from fire. So these are two other creations beside the human being which we know about. The angels, whom were created from light, and the jinn, they were created from fire. Iblis was from a jinn. But because he was so righteous, he was included with the angels and elevated to a very high level among the angels, even though he was from a jinn. Adam was created from dirt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفًا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remember when your Lord said to the angels, verily I am going to place mankind generations after generations on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفًا. Allah is telling the angels, I will place on earth a khalifa. What does khalifa mean? Khalifa comes from the word khalaf. And khalaf means to succeed someone else or to assume the position of someone else. These are the meanings of the word khalaf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, says in the Quran,
فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيًّا.
A generation followed them who lost prayer and followed desires, so they will be misguided. In this ayah, it means a generation that came after them. And that is why we have Salaf and Khalaf. We say Salaf. Who are the Salaf? The Salaf are the early three generations. Everyone who comes after them, we call them Khalaf. And then what was Abu Bakr called when he assumed responsibility after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Khalifatu Rasulillah. The Khalifa of Rasulullah. Why? Because he assumed responsibility after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he came after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we see that in this word, which was used in reference of Abu Bakr, it has two meanings. First meaning is that he is assuming the responsibility of leading the ummah after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the second meaning, it says that he is coming after Rasulullah, Khalifa. He comes after. If we would apply these two meanings to the responsibility or the title that was given to humanity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنِّي جَعْلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I will place a khalifa on earth. So we find two explanations were given. One explanation says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed Adam and his children, his descendants, in the position of responsibility to apply the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are representing the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. They are given the responsibility of applying the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. And that is the explanation given by Ibn Mas'ud. The second explanation is that human beings would succeed each other in this world generation after generation. And this is the opinion of Ibn Abbas. Our responsibility on earth is to establish earth according to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also we see that we are succeeding each other. We're not like the angels who are living and they're not marrying and having children. And we succeed each other on this earth. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the people of Ad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you became the khala'if of the earth, which is plural of khalifa, after the people of Nuh. So this is the meaning of the word Khalifa. If we look at the ayah before this, it would help us in understanding our mission and our role in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayah right before this ayah,
هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَسَوَّاهُنَّ 7 سَمَاوَاتٍ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for you everything in this world. Everything in this world was created for the human being. That is the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this human being, that everything is created for the exploitation of human beings. Because they are the ultimate creation of this world, and they are the ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the responsibility of establishing this dunya, this world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything for them. Therefore, we should not give precedence to anything material over the human being. We should not sacrifice the human being for a material thing. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this noble position to human being, and he made them a khalifa, and he created everything for this human being. The human being is sacred. But the way we are dealing with the human being now on the face of the earth is that we are killing human beings and destroying them for material gain. And that's why Rasulullah ﷺ says that the Muslim is sacred in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than al-Ka'bah. Hurmat. Dam al-Muslim, the sanctity and the sacred position that is given to the blood of the Muslim is more than a Kaaba. That is the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the son of Adam. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have honored the son of Adam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels that I will place a khalifa on earth, what did they say? They said,
قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ.
Will you place therein those who will make mischief therein and shed blood, while we glorify you with praises and thanks? Are you going to place on earth someone who will shed blood and cause corruption when we are glorifying you? How did the angels know that human beings will corrupt on the face of the earth? Adam was not placed on the world yet. Why did the angels say, you are going to place someone who will cause corruption and shed blood in the world? There are two explanations given. One explanation is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels ahead of time that this is what human beings will do. The second explanation, and this is mentioned by Ibn Abbas, that jinn were living in this world before, and they caused corruption, and they shed blood, and they fought with each other, and they corrupted this world, and they caused so much evil. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent on them armies from the angels, and also Iblis, to fight against them. And then they were pushed and cornered to the islands of the ocean. So the angels said, why are you going to place someone on earth who would cause corruption and shed blood again? So these are the two explanations given. There is no hadith to support any one of them. These are two explanations given to the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know what you know not. I know what you know not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى خَلَقَ آدَمْ مِنْ قَبْضَةٍ قَبَضَهَا مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْأَرْضِ فَجَاءَ بَنُوا آدَمْ عَلَى قَدْرِ الْأَرْضِ جَاءَ مِنْهُمُ الْأَحْمَرَ وَالْأَبْيَضَ وَالْأَسْوَدَ وَبَيْنَ ذَلِكَ وَالسَّهْلَ وَالْحَزَنَ وَالْخَبِيثَ وَالطَّيِّبَ وَبَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah created Adam from a handful of dirt, picked from all of earth. All of the earth. So the children of Adam became red, white, and black, and everything in between. And they became soft and tough, bad and good, and everything in between. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam from a handful of dirt. This dirt was taken from different parts of the earth. So there was black soil, there was white soil, there was yellow soil, different colors. And then some of this soil was taken from mountains, and some of it was taken from valleys. And it was mixed together. So the son of Adam, the descendants of Adam, came out in different colors, because the dirt they were created from is from different colors. And they came out with different qualities, because some of this dirt was taken from mountains, and some of it was valleys, some of it was from fertile land, and some of it was from infertile land. So you have some of them are righteous, and some of them are evil, some of them are easy to deal with, and some of them are tough. They came out according to the material they were created from. What was Adam created from? Turab, dirt. But that was not the only name that was given to the material we were created from. We find in Quran that the components of our body were described with different terms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called it turab, which means dirt. Allah has called it teen, which means clay. طين اللازب, sticky clay. صلصال, sounding clay. حمأ مسنون, black smooth mud. Why were these different terms used to refer to the material we were created from? تراب, طين, صلصال, حمأ مسنون, طين اللازب. Dirt, mud, clay, sounding clay, black, smooth mud. In the beginning, it was dirt, turab, dirt, soil, that was taken from the earth. And that is turab. And then this dirt was mixed with the basis of every living being, and that is water. جعلنا من الماء كل شيء حي. We created from water every living being. When it was mixed with water, it became mud, طين. And then this mud was left for a while. And when you leave mud for a while and the moisture in it reduces, it becomes sticky. It becomes sticky. In the beginning, it is loose mud because it has a lot of water. Then when the water level decreases and the moisture decreases, it becomes sticky. And it holds to your hands. Sticky. And that is طين لازب. Sticky clay. And then that sticky clay was left for a longer while. The smell of it changed. And the color of it became darker. And that is حمائم مسنون. Which is black, smooth, and smelly clay. Because it was left there for a while. That material was taken. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala molded out of it the form of Adam, the body of Adam. That body was left to dry and it turned into falsal kalfakhar. Clay like pottery. When you knock on dry clay, pottery, what happens? It makes a ringing sound. And that is salsal, min salsala. It makes a ringing sound like a bell. So the body, the form of Adam, the empty form of Adam that did not have the soul yet, it was just a material. It was left to dry. And then when you would knock on it, it would make this ringing sound. It is said, this is not a hadith, but it is said, that Iblis, he saw this body lying on the ground. He didn't know what it was. So Iblis walked up to the body of Adam and he knocked it. And it made a ringing sound and it was hollow. When he knocked it, he knew that it was hollow from the inside, empty. He said, هذا خلق لا يتمالك. When he found out that it's hollow, he said, this is a creation that is weak. It's hollow from the inside. And then he said, لَإِن سُلِّطَ عَلَيْكَ لَغُيَنَّكَ وَلَإِن سُلِّطَ عَلَيَّ لَأَعْصِيَنَّكَ. If I am given influence over you, I will guide you astray. And if you are given influence over me, I would disobey you. He is our enemy from day one. Adam is not even alive yet. It's just a body that is lying there. And he said, if you are given influence over me, I'm going to disobey you. Let's do the same thing and disobey him. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says in the hadith narrated by Muslim, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ آدَمْ عَلَى صُورَتِهِ. In the beginning we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Adam with his own hands. Adam was honored that he was created with the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A great honor. And that is mentioned in the hadith of Shafa'a. When the humans would go to Sayyidina Adam on the Day of Judgment and they would say, you are the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew his soul into you, and you are the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created with his own hands, and you are the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the angels bow down to, and make sujood. Honoring that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to Adam. He was created with the hands of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith narrated by Muslim, خلق الله آدم على صورته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Adam on his image. On his image. And Nawawi gives an explanation to this hadith. He says, what is meant by Allah has created Adam on his image? It is not talking about the image of Allah. It is talking about the image of Adam. Allah created Adam on the image of Adam. You might wonder, well, what does that mean? What do you mean Allah created Adam on Adam's image? That would mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam as he was in his adult form that remained with him. In other words, Adam did not go through the stages that we go through of being an embryo and then a fetus and then an infant and then a child and then an adult. خلق الله آدم على صورته. Adam was created on his image. He didn't go through changes of images like we do. We go through different changes of images from fetus, from embryo to fetus. It looks very different when you go from the one cell to the when it then multiplies into and the embryo is in the early stages and then the fetus. If you look at it, the image could change within days. But with Adam, he was created on that image from day one, and this is diametrically opposed to what the theory of evolution says. The theory of evolution states that human beings came through an evolution process that started with a chemical reaction, and then the one cell, the single cell, and then multiple cells, and then it goes up and up and up until it reaches to the human being in the end of that long chain. That is contradicting, completely contradicting to the truth. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Adam with his own hand on that image that remained with Adam until he died. But let me say that Islam does not completely disapprove everything in the theory of evolution. Islam disapproves some and approves some. Islam disapproves the part of the theory of evolution that states that nature is the creator or that things came out of random. Islam is against the part of the theory of evolution that states that human being evolved from a single cell and then it went up to the ape, which they call the closest relative of the human being, and then the human being. But Islam is not opposed to the part of the theory of evolution that says that species adapt to their environment. We see that around us, that different species learn how to adapt to different environments. But we say that that happens with the will of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew the soul into Adam. Ar-ruh. Our body without ar-ruh is part of the earth. It is dirt. Our body is made up of carbon, oxygen, copper, iron, sulfur. That is our body. And when the soul leaves, our body decomposes into its origin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
منها خلقناكم وفيها نعيدكم ومنها نخرجكم تارة أخرى.
We created you from earth, and you will return to earth, and then we will resurrect you again from earth. We are nothing without the soul. The essence of life is not in this materialistic body. This body that we have is dead. It is material components that are dirt, came from the dirt, from the earth. What puts life in us is the soul, and that is the secret of life. And it remains as a secret, even with all of the advancements in science and technology that we have. They came to Rasulullah ﷺ and said, tell us about the soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنَ الْرُوحِ قُلِ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They ask you about the soul, tell them that this, the knowledge of the soul belongs to Allah, and you have been given very limited knowledge. The soul is a secret that only Allah knows. And our knowledge of the soul is very limited. This question was asked to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 1400 years ago. Our knowledge about the soul did not change much since then. We don't know much about the soul. The Soviet Union, under communism, they disbelieved in anything metaphysical. They only believed in the physical world. So they thought that they could create a human being.
Please proceed to side B.